الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله والصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Honorable viewers of Madani Channel, there are many excellences of reciting Durood Sharif, Salat ala Nabi, upon the best of creation, our beloved master, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. In one narration, our beloved Ali Salam said to a companion of his, Sayyiduna Ubay bin Ka'b radiyallahu ta'ala, that if you spend all your free time reciting Salat upon me, Durood Sharif upon me, this will be sufficient in removing your worries and having your sins forgiven. Therefore, we too should try and recite Durood Sharif in our free time as much as we can. Where we spend hours and hours on social media, we waste our time in unbeneficial activities. If we spend time reciting a Salat ala Nabi, remembering our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that inshallah this will benefit us in the dunya and more importantly in the akhirah as well. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. The topic, I'm going to introduce it via an account, a story narrated by Allama Ali Qari rahimahullahu ta'ala, a great faqih of Islam, a muhaddis, a giant scholar from many centuries ago. He states that there was a gathering, a feast, da'wat, where Muhyiddin Shaykh Ibn al-Arabi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was invited. When he reached there, he saw that food was being served and there was a young boy sitting partaking in that food. And it was known amongst the people that this boy was no ordinary boy, it was a special boy. How? He was a special young boy in the sense that Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with kashf, spiritual unveilings. He would be able to inform of things which the ordinary person does not know. Allah Ta'ala bestows this upon whomsoever he wants. This is similar to how the great Imam Abu Hanifa, Al-Imam Al-A'zam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, would be able to see the sins of people when they were performing wudu. Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi Alayhi could see that the person was an alcoholic based on the drops falling from his wudu water. He could see that so-and-so was a zani, a fornicator. So this kashf does exist, spiritual unveiling. So it was known regarding that young boy who was partaking in the food that he is sahibul kashf. He has these spiritual unveilings. During the food, all of a sudden, the young boy began to cry. People asked, what's wrong? He said, I was just informed, I just found out that my mother who's passed away, she's in punishment, she's suffering severe torment. Shaykh Muhyiddin Ibn al-Arabi, rahmatullahi alayhi, who was a firm believer in the fact that rewards when conveyed to the deceased benefit them. So what he did was, he had recited Kalima Tayyiba, La ilaha illallah, 70,000 times. And in his heart, he made the intention, Ya Allah, I'm sending the rewards to the mother of this young boy. As soon as he did so, it's narrated that the young boy transformed his state. He was crying a few moments earlier. He mentioned he was crying because his mother was suffering. All of a sudden, he broke out a smile. He became joyous and happy. And he was asked that, why this sudden change? Just moments ago, you were crying. And he says, now my mother has been saved from that punishment and has been admitted into Jannah, paradise. So here it was observed that through the conveying of reward, the conveying of the reward gained for reciting Kalima Tayyiba 70,000 times, the mother of that young boy benefited and she was saved from punishment, admitted to Jannah. This is why the ulama of Islam say, we should recite Kalima Tayyiba 70,000 times for our deceased relatives when they pass away. We can recite it for ourselves as well, inshallah. But this account proves that when you do an amal and you convey that amal to your loved ones who are passed away, then they most definitely benefit. Otherwise, the scholars of Islam throughout the ages wouldn't have practiced this, wouldn't have done this. They studied Al-Quran Al-Kareem. They studied the ahadith of the beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They studied the amal of the Sahaba. And this is the conclusion they came to, that when you do amal, you send the rewards of that to the deceased. You say, Ya Allah, benefit my so-and-so deceased relative. It could be a parent, it could be a sibling, it could be a partner, it could be a child. Then that reward is conveyed to them. In Arabic, the term is إِصَالُ الثَّوَابِ, transmitting of reward, conveying of reward. And in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, Surah Hashr, we have the biggest dalil for this, evidence for this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Those who came after them, they said, they would supplicate, O Allah, forgive us and forgive those who passed before us. Our brothers who have passed before us. What do we learn from this? When someone passes away, Islam is a beautiful religion which tells us to remember our deceased. It's not a religion that tells us and instructs us to forget our deceased. Unfortunately, some people have this mindset today. They say, don't do amal for the deceased, meaning they've done their amal, that's it, they're gone. Whatever you do will not benefit. But this verse is telling us that when we make dua of maghfirah, this benefits them. Otherwise, the Quran wouldn't mention this dua. The Quran has praised this dua. Allah Ta'ala, His divine speech, contains this dua. Oh Allah, forgive us and forgive our deceased brothers who have passed. So when you're asking for forgiveness, what are you asking for that person? You're asking for him to be saved from torment, punishment. You're asking for that person to be granted Jannah. You're asking for that person to be granted the mercy and blessings of Allah. If we couldn't benefit them, then why do we make this dua? So this is a misunderstanding. This is a confusion that unfortunately people try to create because of a lack of knowledge, lack of awareness as well. But we have to have the right aqeedah and belief in this regard. So we make dua for our loved ones. We ask Allah to shower His mercy upon them. And remember, when you convey rewards, it's not limited and restricted to the deceased. It's not the case that you can only convey rewards to those who have passed away. No, the beauty of our religion is when you offer Jumu'ah Salah, which is fard, and you make a supplication, Ya Allah, I would like to convey the rewards of this Jumu'ah Salah to my parents, to my loved ones, to my fellow Muslims, the entire Muslim Ummah, then know with yaqeen certainty that that reward will reach them, inshallah. So this is a practice that has been taking place throughout the ages. Let's listen to another account in this regard. And this account is related to Sayyidatuna Rabi'a Basriya, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayha. She was a great godly woman, a saint of Islam. She spent her life in mujahadat, going against the nafs, striving against the nafs. She attained taqwa Allah, she attained great piety and renown in her age, in her time period. So one is gaining renown afterwards, but one is being praised in your very same era by your contemporaries. And she was from amongst those personalities that the awliya Allah of the time praised her for her asceticism, her zuhud, her taqwa, her God consciousness, her fear of Allah, her practice of the deen. Listen to this account regarding her. Sayyiduna Bashar bin Ghalib, rahmatullahi alayhi. He says, I used to make an abundant amount of supplications, du'as for Sayyidatuna Rabi'a Basriya, rahmatullahi alayha. One night, I had a dream in which I saw her saying, O Bashar, your gifts are conveyed to me after being covered with silken kerchiefs in trays of light. When the living make du'a for the dead, they, meaning the du'as, are put in trays of light after being accepted. Then, after being covered with silken kerchiefs, they are presented to the deceased for whom the du'a has been made, and it is said, so and so has sent you this gift. This tuhfa, hiba. Think about it for a moment. when our loved ones are with us, we try our utmost to please them. On celebratory occasions, we give them gifts. We try to please them. We know they like a certain food, we'll buy that food for them. A certain gift, we'll buy that gift for them. You have that ta'alluq when they're with you. If they fall ill, you can go and see them, meet them, inquire after them. Motivate them to stay strong. Encourage them that this illness will pass as well. But when the deceased pass away, that worldly connection that you had with them is severed. You can't visit them like you normally would. You can't speak to them face to face like you normally would. So in light of this account, when the deceased are not with us anymore, then they are anticipating and waiting for those gifts to be sent to them, just like you used to send them gifts in the dunya. And what are those gifts? When you make dua for them, when you supplicate for them. Obviously, you're not going to buy a perfume or a fragrance and place it in the grave as a gift. This is not possible. So what you will do now is you will make dua for them. Oh Allah, bless my parent who's passed away, for example. Bless and shower your mercy upon my relative who has passed away, grandmother, grandfather. Oh Allah, forgive them. Oh Allah, shower your khas rahmah upon them. This is what we as Muslims should do. We don't abandon our deceased relatives. We don't leave them, especially in the time of need. You heard the account of Sheikh Muhyiddin ibn al-Arabi rahmatullahi alayhi, how that person's mother was affected, and because of conveying the rewards of kalima tayyiba, she no longer was being punished. Instead, she was admitted to Jannah, paradise. Therefore, never ever forget the deceased. Let's listen to a few narrations in this regard, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he was asked by his companions numerous occasions. I'll just mention a few narrations to you, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by Sayyiduna Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu, whose mother had passed away. He said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my mother has passed away in my absence. If I give something in charity on her behalf, will it benefit her? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, yes, na'am, it will benefit her. Sayyiduna Sa'ad radiallahu anhu said, then I make you a witness that I give my garden in charity on her behalf. So if these things were beneficial, why did the Prophet ﷺ permit them? Ma'adallah, do people of today know more than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Can they for 1 second or millisecond say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wrong to say to this companion that don't give anything in charity? They don't have that audacity. They can't say that. That would be detrimental to their iman. So why is it that people confuse others on this topic of Isalul Thawab? So the deceased has gone, forget about them now. They have done their a'mal. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been asked by a sahabi that his mother has passed away. If I give charity on her behalf, will it benefit her? The Prophet alayhi salam said, yes. He gave his garden in charity on behalf of his mother. Anyone who uses that garden, anyone who benefits from that garden, who will receive the reward? The mother of this companion, Sayyiduna Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiyallahu anhu. In another narration, the same sahabi asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mother of Sa'ad has passed away. I would like to give something in charity on her behalf to convey reward to her. Which charity is best? The Prophet alayhi wa sallam said, water. Water is the best form of charity. He said to this companion, why? Because at that time, there was a shortage of water. So Sayyiduna Sa'ad radiyallahu anhu had a well dug and said, this well is for Sa'ad's mother, meaning to convey reward to her soul. Subhanallah. So, again, this strengthens the amal of the Muslims across the globe who dig wells for this purpose. When travelers come, when pilgrims arrive, they will drink water, they will quench their thirst. Why? With the intention of gaining reward from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Sayyiduna Sa'ad, that well that he had dug, every time someone drinks from it, his mother will be rewarded in her grave. This is something that we need to educate ourselves regarding. And we need to teach our next generation as well. Why? Because every single one of us here wants our child to benefit us when we leave the dunya. Unfortunately, today, the state of children is such that if we were to pass away today, let alone benefit, we may receive azab because of them. Because there's no tarbiyah. The children are watching what they like, listening to what they like, doing what they like, involved in drugs, illicit relationships, all sorts. But your responsibility and your purpose as a parent should be to leave such children behind in the dunya that make you proud in your grave. When you're 6 feet under the ground, when you have passed away, because of the amal of your children on a daily basis, you're being rewarded. Salatul Fajr, your child is up and your child is offering salah, prostrating to Allah. You're under the ground, you're in your grave, you're being rewarded for that as well. Why? Because you helped that child become punctual in offering salah. You told them about the importance of salah. You offered salah yourself throughout your life. Now, if a parent doesn't offer salah, the child will see that. The child will think, prayer isn't something important. If it was, then my parent would have offered salah. My mom and dad, they don't offer salah. So they see your actions. And if they don't offer salah after you've gone, you've never taught them about salah, one will face the consequences. So teaching your children about righteous actions and how what they do will benefit you in their graves as well is very important. For example, somebody, he doesn't teach the women of the household, the Islamic sisters of the household about haya. And they end up, ma'azallah, revealing their beauty to others, to na-mahrams, going to all sorts of professions which are unlawful for Muslims, become models, actresses, all sorts. Then when a person is under the ground, that will not benefit him. Maybe in the dunya, in the short term, he feels he's benefiting from the paychecks that are arriving. Oh, my daughter earns this through her modeling career. My daughter earns this through her fashion career. But Islam and the rules and the laws of Islam, which have been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they're not followed, then there'll be no barakah in that money, firstly. And secondly, when a person has long gone, he will suffer the consequences, because the child will continue doing that. The child will say, my parents never told me off. When someone tries to rectify them, they'll say, who are you? This is often heard. They'll say, my parents didn't tell me this was wrong. Who are you to tell me it's wrong? Allahu Akbar. So do tarbiyah today, such tarbiyah, that when you're gone, your children are conveying rewards to you. Every time they do something good, you'll be rewarded as well, inshallah. Let's listen to an account. And this is mentioned in Mukashafatul Qulub, again highlighting the power, the strength and the effect of conveying rewards to the deceased. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi mentions an account regarding a woman whose daughter had passed away. And as any parent, she desired to see her daughter in a dream. I want to see my daughter, in what state she's in, what condition she's in, what she's facing right now. So she came to the Imam of the time, Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and she said to him, Oh Imam, tell me something I can do, I can read, whereby I will be able to see my daughter in a dream. She's passed away. Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi said to this woman, go away, read such and such a thing, implement what I'm telling you, you will see your daughter in a dream. So this woman went and did what the Imam Sahib advised. And as expected, as the Imam Sahib said, she saw her daughter in a dream. So her wish was fulfilled. But in what state did she see her daughter? It was in a state where the daughter was in agony. The daughter was in shackles and chains. The daughter was evidently suffering. So she woke from this dream, panicking, worried, in a state of anxiousness, restlessness. She goes back to the court of Imam Hassan Basri, rahmatullahi alayhi. And she says, oh Imam, I acted upon what you said. My wish of seeing my daughter was fulfilled. But unfortunately, very unfortunately, I saw that my daughter was suffering. She's in pain. She's being punished. She's being tormented. She had chains and shackles around her neck and her feet. Al-Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi heard this and he became very concerned, filled with grief. The awliya Allah, they want what is best for the ummah. So when they hear about this, the ummah suffering, it's hard for them. A short while later, it's related that Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi has a dream himself. What does he see in the dream? He sees that a young woman is in a state of bliss, happiness, ease, comfort, joy, peace. She's in lush gardens and he can't recognize her. So she says, "Do you know who I am?" He says, "No." She says, "I am the same daughter of the woman who came to you asking how she can see me in a dream." Imam Hassan Basri, whilst having this vision, this dream, he asks her, he says, "Your mother described you as being in a totally different state. You were being punished. You were being tormented. You were in shackles and chains. But what I see is completely different. Completely different. What's brought about this transformation?" And here she revealed the power of conveying rewards to your fellow Muslims. She said that, "Yes, my mother told the truth. I was suffering. I was in agony. I was in pain and difficulty. But what happened was, once a person, a pious person, a man from the Salihin, a righteous individual, he walked past by the graveyard, recited salawat ala nabi, peace and blessings upon the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he sent the rewards, the thawab of that durood sharif, that salat ala nabi, to all the Muslims in the graveyard, all the deceased Muslims. As a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviated and relieved 550 Muslims who were in that graveyard and who were being punished. Allah ta'ala alleviated their punishment, removed their punishment, finished their punishment." Now, ponder here for a second, brothers in attendance, viewers of Madini Channel, that if this is the power of reciting Durood Sharif and conveying the reward, and that the person who is receiving the reward, all punishment is lifted from him, then imagine the barakat, the rahmat, the blessings, the mercy that the one who recited Durood Sharif himself will attain. Meaning, this is the power of the Durood Sharif which is conveyed to someone who's in punishment. The punishment ends. But if you make a habit of reciting Durood Sharif day and night, whenever it's possible, remembering the Prophet ﷺ, just imagine the rewards that you will attain. Just imagine the qurba that you will attain to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and closeness to the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this account here, a very powerful account, shows us that when we do a neki, a good deed, a righteous action, a pious action, it is totally permitted to convey the rewards of that action to our fellow Muslims, whether they are alive or not. Obviously, those who are deceased, if you look at it from one aspect, they need it more because their amal has stopped, their own personal amal has stopped. Yes, acts of sadaqah jariyah that they did whilst in the dunya, they are continuing the reward for them. For example, if someone helped construct a masjid, madrasa, contributed towards digging a well, doing welfare work, feeding the poor, setting up a charity, and now that person's long gone, as long as those good actions that he invested in, that he contributed to, are taking place, he'll benefit in the grave as well. But what's the additional benefit that he can receive? If pious Muslims, his own children, his loved ones, his relatives, if they convey rewards to him. Alhamdulillah, this is a practice throughout the world that from time to time, people hold what is called khatam, khatam sharif. Maybe after a year, maybe after 6 months, whenever is feasible for them, they have food cooked, so they order food, they arrange a gathering, they invite their relatives, loved ones, the friends of their deceased relative. They make dua, they recite Al-Quran Al-Kareem, they feed people with the intention that all of the thawab of that majlis, that gathering, reaches the deceased. And most definitely it does. So this is a practice that we should continue. We should continue giving sadaqah, charity on behalf of our relatives as well who have passed on. Why? Because it goes back to what I said earlier. Every single Muslim wants to benefit through the actions of others long after they've gone. Because your own amal has stopped now. When you pass away, in qata amalu, the person's amal has stopped. He can't come out of his grave and offer salah again. He can't exit the grave and give sadaqah. He can't do any of that. But when people do that and convey the rewards to the individual in the grave, it benefits. You've heard the narrations, the ahadith. Sayyiduna Sa'd bin Ubadah had a well dug for his mother. And the Prophet ﷺ said that is the best form of charity, water. And the rewards will be conveyed to his mother every single time someone benefits from that water, drinks that water, quenches their thirst through that water. Likewise, for our loved ones, our deceased, those who are passed on, we should also do such charitable acts. Why? If we do that today, perhaps tomorrow when we leave the dunya, we'll have people who raise their hands for us as well. We have people who do dua of maghfirah as well for us as well. And to conclude, Salatul Janazah itself, when we go and offer the Janazah Salah, what's the maqsad behind that? What's the reasoning behind that? Is it just to show your face to one another? No. The maqsad is to pray for the deceased. Oh Allah, forgive the deceased. The deceased, his amal has stopped. And those people who today who try to prevent others from conveying rewards, making dua for the deceased, for their elevation in ranks, what will they say about the Salatul Janazah? The Salatul Janazah is established in Sharia. The Prophet ﷺ himself led multiple Janazah Salahs. And the maqsad of Salatul Janazah is to pray for the forgiveness of the deceased. Is that not benefiting the deceased? Of course it is. When we make dua in namaz, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ, we're asking dua of maghfirah for ourselves, our parents, for all the believers on the Day of Judgment. Is that not benefiting your fellow believers? So we have to invest time in seeking knowledge. Knowledge is something that will not just come to a person. You won't wake up one day with encyclopedic knowledge regarding Islam. It's not going to happen. The Prophet ﷺ said over 1400 years ago, Al-ilmu bit-ta'allum, that knowledge comes through seeking it. If one cannot become a doctor overnight, he has to give several years of study. If one cannot become a plumber, an electrician, or join any other field or profession without extensive study beforehand, then how do we think that we'll become knowledgeable in deen overnight? Listening to a clip or two on social media. And social media has its own dangers and fitan and tribulations. Everyone's a spokesperson regarding Islam on social media. They haven't studied a day in madrasa. They haven't studied any of the classical texts. Fiqh, hadith, tafsir, usul al-tafsir, usul al-hadith. But they're commenting on these matters. They know they are controversial matters. It'll help them with their views, with their likes, with the algorithms. So, ajeeb situation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all ikhlas in seeking knowledge of the deen. May we seek it first and foremost to rectify ourselves and then to benefit others as well. That when you rectify yourself, you're doing amal on Quran and hadith yourself, and then you're conveying that knowledge to others so that they benefit, then you will receive double reward. One for your own amal, one for the amal of the other person. Yes, this is the beauty of our religion. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ad-dalu 'ala al-khayri kafa'ili." The one who invites towards a good deed is like the one who does the action. In the sense that when you've invited that person and he does what you have said regarding namaz or any other aspect of the deen, you're like him in the reward that you will attain. That person will be rewarded, but you will also be rewarded. Why? Because you were the catalyst. You were the cause. You were the means of that person coming close to deen. So this is something that we should be eager regarding. We should spread knowledge of Islam. First of all, gain it ourselves. And be a well-wisher for others by spreading it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us success and tawfiq in this regard. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
For the sake of Medina, we are calling upon you.